It's anything you ever wanted to know from KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. Good afternoon. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 800-933-5372. And this hour, you can also email your questions and answers to us at anything@kera.org. That's where we got this quite a stack to start off this week. Sam wants to know if there's a lumber yard in the DFW area that offers reclaimed lumber. Let's see. Ben says, I don't like the ice cubes that my refrigerator ice maker makes, so I buy the clear packaged cubes at the grocery store ice making machine. He says, but when I put the cubes in my freezer, within 2 days, the cubes have frozen together. Can someone suggest a way to keep them from doing so? 800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org. Rosie writes, I was listening to Morning Edition, and they used the term saber-rattling to describe aggressive talk by Middle Eastern governments. That got me to wondering, what phrase would a country like Iran use to describe the same kind of talk on the part of our government? Brian wants to know, why can't dogs eat chocolate? Call us, 800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org. Laura in Arlington wants to know what happened to Becky Miller, the morning weather person on the local NBC affiliate. Ken in Allen asks, does any car manufacturer provide a real-time readout on the dashboard of miles per gallon? He says, if so, the driver would just watch the readout to analyze his or her driving habits to get the best mileage. He says, this is so obvious, it's amazing that it's not required by the government, but he wants to know which car manufacturers provide that real-time readout of miles per gallon being used. Let's see. Bill in Dallas asks, do credit card companies take a percentage of donation transactions to nonprofits? Call us, 800-933-5372. We had a question a long time ago from a listener who called, and the reason that I'm remembering this is that there was a little story about this in the current KERA member news, and people started calling in and wondering where they can get this sandwich. If I remember correctly, a listener emailed and said, I'm sitting here with my car keys, and I'll go to the first place that your audience recommends to get an authentic Italian hot beef sandwich. So since this was published, we've had some calls to the audience and member services department, and they've been emailing me, where was the place that offered the Italian hot beef sandwich? So call us this hour. We'll revisit that question. Apparently, that day, the individual who wrote in, and I can't remember his name, was at the restaurant eating the sandwich, and several other of you walked in and tried the sandwich as well. So call us, 800-933-5372. Email us anything@kera.org. A question that I can answer from Eddie in Fort Worth reminds us that a few weeks ago we had someone send in information about the little tree on Interstate 30 near Fort Worth. There was something about a book and a website. Well, I looked it up, and Eddie, it's thehomelesschristmastree.com. All one word, thehomelesschristmastree.com. And there's a book and the stories there, and you can check it out at thehomelesschristmastree.com. 800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org. Let's talk to Danny in Alvarado. Hello, Danny.
Hi. Hi. I have a question today. It's got kind of scientific question.
Okay.
I was watching the History Channel. I don't know if I could say that.
Sure.
And they were talking about in 2012, in December, there's going to be an occurrence where all the planets are aligned with one another. Mm-hmm. And some of the scientists were saying one of the possibilities of that could be the polar shift. Whereas the last time we had a polar shift millions of years ago, Alaska was where the equator is. And I was wondering if anybody out there knew, could expound upon some more of the effects of what the aligning of the planets would do and maybe possibly a polar shift.
All right. Well, we'll ask. Thanks, Danny.
Thanks.
All right. 800-933-5372. Let's talk to Kelly in Southlake. Hello, Kelly.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing fine.
Good. I think I have an answer, or at least a suggestion.
Okay.
The gentleman who has the ice problem when he goes and buys the ice.
Uh-huh.
If he brings the bag home and puts it in his freezer and lets it refreeze, it starts to melt slightly while he's bringing it home. If he'll let it refreeze and then take the bag out and break it up like on his garage floor or something before he empties it into his freezer, it'll stop the problem he was having of it all freezing back together in his ice machine.
Very good. Thanks, Kelly. Okay. And while we're on the subject of ice, we had a caller or emailer last week wondering who wants to make shaved ice this summer, or shave ice, we call snow cones here, and wanted to know where to buy blocks of ice. And Daniel in Denton emailed with a great suggestion. He says, I worked in a shave ice stand as a teenager, and we would use those gallon ice cream buckets and strawberry pails, fill them with water, and then freeze them. He says, I'm not sure if your emailer or caller has the means of freezing and storing several gallons of water per day, but I imagine this would be a cheaper option. Just be sure, Daniel adds, not to fill the buckets to the top. When the water freezes, it needs room to expand or it will crack the plastic apart. Daniel, thanks very much for that email. Anything at KERA.org is where you can send your emails, or you can call us at 800-933-5372. Lots of questions and answers this week. Just to start off, Jonathan in Fort Worth says, I work at a local coffee shop, and we have a problem with the decaf coffee grinds always spilling into the air pots, he says. It's only the decaf coffee that this happens with. Do you or does anyone know what we can do to prevent the coffee grounds from entering into the pot? And this is one of my favorite questions from the stack this week from Mary Carroll, who says, I've listened to NPR for a while to and from work, but I just recently started listening online while at work in Dallas, and today is the first time I've heard the show. This was from last Friday. Thanks very much, Mary. Mary says, and this is the part I like, folks. Mary says, I'm trying to start a garden this summer and wondered if anyone could share what vegetables grow best in Texas. Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us anything at KERA.org. Up next is Jill in Van Alstine. Hello, Jill.
Hi. I have an answer, or at least a partial answer, for the question about dogs and chocolate.
Okay.
It has something to do with the caffeine that's in the chocolate. That has a negative, and I've looked it up before as to exactly why, but it's the caffeine in the chocolate that makes the dog sick.
Very good.
And also, on another note, grapes and raisins can actually cause kidney failure in dogs.
So don't feed any of that to your dogs.
Yep. So all three of those things are not good for dogs.
Very good. Thanks, Jill. 800-933-5372. Up next is Kelly in Irving. Does that sound right, Kelly?
Hi. Well, sort of.
Okay.
There's a compound in chocolate called theobromine, which is omethylxanthine, which is similar to caffeine. But dogs don't have the enzyme to break down theobromine, and so if they ingest it in large amounts, then they have the high levels of it stay in their bloodstream for long periods of time. And just like caffeine, it's kind of an upper, and it causes nervous irritability, and they can go into spasms and convulsions and so on. But they have to actually eat quite a bit. And only dark chocolate really has a lot of theobromine. So I wouldn't feed chocolate to dogs, but I wouldn't worry about it if they ate a little piece either.
Okay. Yeah, you always hear the story of the dog who got into the candy bowl.
Yeah.
But, okay. Well, thanks, Kelly. I appreciate it.
All right.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email, of course, always open, anything at KERA.org. John wrote us from rural East Texas and says, all around the area where I live, there are what we call tree frogs. These are thumbnail-sized frogs who crawl up into the trees or onto plants at night, call for a mate. Even though they're very small and can hardly be found, they are so loud, he says, that I'm being driven batty. He says, does anyone know of any way to get them to shut up? And then he wrote again. He said, just a couple of minutes ago, the frogs in my area suddenly stopped croaking, and our dog went off barking into the woods. He says, there was the presence of some animal apparently caused the frogs to quiet. But as soon as my dog ran off, the frogs started croaking again. He says, it sounds like there's about 10,000 of them all croaking. Keep us awake at night. He says, I wish we could call the animal that caused them to be quiet back here. Does anyone know a way to get them to stop without harming them? He says, the dog and the cat don't have any effect. Call us, 800-933-5372. Up next is Sherry in Azle. Hello, Sherry.
Hey, how are you?
Doing
fine.
We
love your show.
Oh, thank you very much.
I have an answer for the Rebecca Miller question.
Okay.
I heard or read on a blog that she is now teaching at A&M part-time and finishing a graduate degree.
Very good. Thanks very much.
You bet. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's talk next to Grant in Flower Mound. Hello, Grant.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great.
I've got an answer for the miles per gallon readout on the car.
Okay.
I've got an 01 or 2001 Volvo S80 that does it for me, so I'm assuming the newer models might as well.
Okay, very good. Thanks, Grant. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's see. Erica in the Fort Worth area, it looks like, says, I often hear people say the word across, but they pronounce it acrossed with the T on the end. Is this a new word that I'm not aware of, or is this some sort of regional slang? I don't know if we can help you with that, but we'll try. Let's see. Fareed in Carrollton says, my main question is, a powered attic ventilation fan versus unpowered attic ventilation. He says the fan will extract hot air from the attic, but if I'm using an electrical fan, does the amount of electricity used really offset, is it really offset by lower air conditioning usage cost? He also asks, why are military clothes called fatigues? Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us. If you can't get through on the phone, please email us, anything at kera.org. Up next is Sean in Plano. Hello, Sean.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing great.
Thanks for taking my call. I've got three real quick answers.
Okay.
One, another auto manufacturer that makes the real-time miles per gallon usage is Volkswagen. They have it on several different models depending upon the package that you get.
Very good.
Also, where you can get an authentic Italian beef sandwich.
You bet.
In McKinney at Chicago Street Pizza, located on West University.
Okay.
Right there. It's a small mom-and-pop place, authentic, awesome Italian beef sandwiches.
Very good.
And my wife is actually from Central Illinois, and she uses the word across, and her family tends to use it as much as she does. So I think it might be a definitely a regional thing.
Sort of a colloquial thing.
Yeah, in North Midwest. So,
all right.
That's it. Thanks for taking my call.
Sean, thanks very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Up next is Thomas in Wiley. Hello, Thomas.
Yeah, how you doing? I just had an answer for the miles per hour gauge in the cars.
Miles per gallon?
Miles per gallon,
yeah.
Excuse me. I have a 2008 CRV Honda, and mm-hmm. It has that, a real-time gauge that tells you miles per gallon.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. And let's see. Let's get a couple more of these. We'll talk to Sam in Farmers Branch. Hello, Sam.
Oh, hi. I remember when I was a kid back in the 60s, we had a vacuum gauge on the dash, and the vacuum is the more vacuum your carburetor was pulling, that meant the more gas you were pulling. So the idea was to have a low vacuum and you were getting better gas mileage.
You remember what kind of car that was?
I don't, but I remembered, and one of my first cars, I installed one myself that was just an add-on.
Oh, very good. Sam?
Something more than a vacuum gauge onto the carburetor.
Thanks very much. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Couple more questions before we go to a break here. Claire in Dallas wants to know what's being built on Cedar Springs across from the Kroger. Chad in Arlington writes, if my facts are right, Burma became known as Myanmar in 1989. Assuming that fact is correct, why does the media still refer to Myanmar as Burma, or as both, I guess? Catherine in Dallas wants to know what the song is on the BBC World Service around 11:15 every night, and then throughout the program, they play a theme song or a signature tune, if you will, that's been playing for at least 8 years. Catherine says, when I lived in the Middle East, they played the same song, the same theme song on the BBC, which I heard through a shortwave radio. I've desperately searched online for the name of the tune. It is not Lilla Burlero. I've looked the song up, and that's not it. It has no words, but it's very comforting to me, and I would love if someone could help me with this. Well, help us, 800-933-5372. Email us anything at kera.org. We'll be right back. From KERA, this is Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. I'm Jeff Whittington. You can call us at 800-933-5372. You can email us anything at kera.org. A couple of last words here on the chocolate and dogs. Let's see. Kathy in Georgia, listening in Georgia, hopefully on the internet or Our chief engineer will be getting a call from the FCC. Dogs can't eat chocolate, potatoes, onions, or mushrooms because they do not have the enzymes in their digestive tracts to digest it, says Kathy. Let's see. And Mara agrees that theobromine, which is a xanthine compound, which are toxic. But the good news is, she adds, this is from talktothevet.com, is that it takes on average a fairly large amount to cause a toxic reaction for a dog. And let's see. Yeah, this is we got agreement from Donna as well. So thanks very much for all of those. In the answer stack from last week, in regards to what happens to cars donated to charity, Chris in Richardson wrote, a few charities still sell them directly to the public. It says that one of the major charities, I believe it was the Salvation Army, used to have a car lot in Grand Prairie, although Chris says, I'm not sure if it's still there. Most cars that are donated to charity are hopeless basket cases, he says, so most of them are sold at auction to junkyards or garages as a source of parts. Chris in Azle says, while some donation stations, he says, in quotes, may take autos to the auction and give the proceeds, minus a fee, to charity, there are organizations that will take cars in good working condition and give them to someone who needs a car. He says, I know in Weatherford there's a women's shelter who accepts cars in good working condition that need no work to give to women who need to start out fresh from abusive relationships, need to find work, and thus transportation to and from work. He says, if you want to make sure your car goes to someone who really needs a car and not a handout, go to some area shelters or call them and find out what they could, you know, what they could use or if they could use one. Quincy, who says the caller asking about inexpensive solar panels for his home can contact 3 Billion Renewable Energy at 3billion.com to talk about residential or commercial systems. And in regards to selling gold jewelry, old gold jewelry, Rob says you'll never receive 100% of the spot price on gold due to costs involved in processing, shipping, refining, and selling it. But you can get much more than pennies on the dollar. He says the best place to go is a reputable pawn shop. He says one of the national chains, since with economies of scale, they can and typically do pay more. You can expect to receive about 50 to 80% of market value, depending on the amount of jewelry that you have to sell. And Gretchen, who says the Wall Street Journal printed an article on turning gold jewelry into cash in the Personal Journal section on March 5th of this year. I highly recommend referring to this article, but if the caller can't locate it, the author found a gold broker in the heart of Manhattan called U.S. Gold Buyers, which pays 96% of the spot price. And Gretchen says, great show. Thank you, Gretchen. Oh, and to the answer about the railroad cars on the track, on the siding in Louisville, Bridget says those cars are grain storage cars belonging to BNBX and are leased out as needed. But since there's no need for a grain car until after the harvest, there they sit. Garrett in Dallas says, in regards to the election of the president and vice president, thank you, Garrett, the 12th Amendment to the Constitution, ratified on June 15th, 1804, provided for the separate election of president and vice president. It modified Article 2 of the Constitution. 800-933-5372. Email anything at KERA.org. Up next is Judd in Arlington. Hello, Judd.
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead.
I have a couple of answers.
Okay.
One is reclaimed wood.
Okay.
It's near downtown Dallas, right off Industrial, on Rock Island Street. It's called Orr Reed Wrecking Company.
Orr Reed, okay.
And they sell all kinds of stuff out of torn down houses.
Very good.
Then there's a place to get an Italian sandwich.
Yes.
Italian beef sandwich in East Dallas off Fitzhugh and Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Jimmy's Fine Italian Food.
Okay.
It's really good.
Very
good.
I think
Becky Miller is no longer with the Weather anymore because they had something with her looks. That's what I heard. That was on a blog.
Oh, okay. Well, apparently we're getting the information on that from the blogosphere today. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Mark in Keller. Hello, Mark.
Hi.
Yes, go right ahead.
I got an answer on the miles per gallon. My old 91 BMW does that, both instantaneous and on average.
Very good.
And my wife's also got a 2006 that does it as well, so I think they've continued to do that.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Sure.
Let's see. Up next is B in Plano. Hello, B.
Hi.
Yes, go right ahead.
All right. I was calling about the miles per gallon question.
Yeah, the instantaneous readout. Right.
Yeah. Subaru does it on a lot of their trims. We've got about four models, but they all have a real-time miles per gallon depending on what trim or what car you get.
Very good. Thanks, B.
All right. Thank you.
And let's get one more on the phone on this, on both of these questions, from Janice. Hello, Janice.
Hey, yeah, one more on the miles per gallon.
Mm-hmm.
The Prius. And I know the other hybrids, the Civic Hybrid, and those
right.
will do that as well.
Very good.
And as far as dogs and chocolate, I've heard some contradictory information to what has been said earlier, and that it's not known exactly how much chocolate it takes to affect any particular dog.
Sure.
So, especially with smaller breeds, and the metabolite is broken down in the liver and can cause toxic liver failure. So really, even small amounts of chocolate are
yeah,
dangerous.
Just like people, dogs are different. So
sure.
it's a good idea just to not even offer it.
And as far as solar panels for residential right now, because the government does not subsidize that and Texas does not offer any kind of subsidy to, like California or other states do, it costs at least $30,000 to put solar panels on your house. I've had an energy audit and gotten this information.
Okay.
And it takes at least 30 years to recoup any kind of financial investment.
Right. Very good.
So. Okay.
Thanks, Janice.
Okay, bye.
800-933-5372. Email anything at KERA.org. I lied. Here's the last one on the real-time miles per gallon readout, because this is from Jay, who says, my 2007 Mini Cooper has the ability to show the instantaneous miles per gallon. However, he adds, it's not very safe to watch it, as it's pretty interesting, and driving is not something you should do while reading. By the way, he says, my average miles per gallon for city driving and my manual Mini Cooper is currently about 34.7 miles per gallon, but I drive the speed limit without a lot of accelerating. And let's see, Bob, writing from somewhere, says, Wild About Harry's on Knox in Dallas has an Italian beef really close to Al's in Chicago. 800-933-5372. Anything at KERA.org is the email address. Up next is Jim in Bartonville. Hello, Jim.
Hi. I have a question. Driving around all over the Metroplex, I see on the side of the road, on the asphalt usually, a big white cross. It's just not like a Christian cross, but all four sides are the same. Or sometimes it's just a right angle. And
is it painted? It's painted on the road.
Sometimes, and sometimes it's a strip of vinyl if it's in the grass. And
kind of like crosswalk material.
Yeah. And it looks like some type of surveyor mark, but it's so big that it's almost like maybe satellites are looking at this. And I just don't know what it is, and you guys are here for me to call, so I thought I'd give you a call.
We had this question once years ago, and you're right. It's for satellite imagery synchronization.
Oh, okay.
So I guess from what the answer we got before was that I used to think they were for speed limit, speed radar by aircraft. You know, they could look at mm-hmm. your car and time how far you go between this X and that X. But then we got the answer that it was it's so that they can line up aerial photographs and piece them all together. But, you know, that could be wrong. So
it seems like
we'll see if there's another answer.
More of them, but I guess that would make sense.
Yeah. Well, that's what I've heard before, but we'll see if we get another answer for you.
All right. Super. All right. Thank you.
Thanks for calling,
much.
Jim. 800-933-5372. We're flying through the questions and answers today. Lots still coming in at anything at KERA.org. If you can't get through on the phone, send it to us. Claire in Dallas writes and says there are several areas of sidewalk paving in downtown Dallas, on St. Paul and other streets that have recently been removed and repaved with decorative colors and designs. She adds, there doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason to the placement of these areas. Does anyone know whether there is any logical placement, or is it really random? Terry wants to know if anyone can suggest an Indian restaurant in Dallas that features live music, and I assume live Indian music. Sue in Dallas wants to know where in the Dallas area Pears soap is still available. A drugstore chain, she says, got me hooked on bars of this great 200-year-old brand and now has pulled it from their shelves. Does anyone know where I can find it? Pears, P-E-A-R-S, Pears soap. Paul wants to know, If most mortgages include PMI, mortgage insurance, in case of default, why are so many mortgage companies in financial trouble? In other words, he adds, why hasn't PMI kicked in? And Emily and Tyler wants to know if anyone can suggest an organization, either nonprofit or otherwise, that provides personal financial education to adults in a classroom setting. She says, I'm not looking for financial advisors who are interested in selling products, but rather an organization that is genuinely trying to help individuals by providing basic financial education. And I would say probably not looking for sort of a consumer credit counseling agency either. So if anyone has a, you know, a local nonprofit that they can suggest, call us, 800-933-5372. Up next is Ellie in Cedar Hill. Hello, Ellie.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing fine.
I have an answer for the garden question.
Yes.
I've been living on a farm for the last 9 months, and it seems like in Texas, in this area, the best summer like produce is eggplants, peppers, and your herbs, like basil. Oh, and like okra and things like that, and summer squash.
Yeah, summer squash does pretty good. Okra goes crazy.
Yeah, those are going to be your best bets. Herbs tend to just like flourish like crazy no matter where you are. So basil is fantastic. Dill is good. Parsley is good.
I planted okra a few years ago, and the things, and I have a little garden, you know, I like to grow a few things, and the things got 12 feet tall, and you have to pick the okra right when you first see them, because you go to bed, you get up the next day, they're 10 or 12 inches long, and so tough,
true,
you can't eat them.
So hopefully you like okra, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so, Ellie, thanks very much, and
no
really
problem.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And if you have your garden suggestions, I'd like to know what you're planting and what does well, and how you decide what to try new. Call us, 800-933-5372. Up next is Dennis in Dallas. Hello, Dennis.
Yes, hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was curious to know why a star has to explode to become a black hole.
That is not a question for me, so we'll see if we get an answer for it. You mean, why does it go supernova first?
Yes.
Which is, I guess, which means it rapidly expands and then collapses back in on itself.
Yes.
Well, let's ask.
Okay, thank
all right,
you.
Thanks, Dennis. 800-933-5372. Let's talk to Kenny in Waxahachie. Hello, Kenny.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I had a question about, in light of the recent tragedy in Miramar, I would like to know what constitutes a cyclone as opposed to a hurricane or other large storm.
Well, I think it's which ocean it originates in. I think it's, let's see, I'm looking it up right now in this book, and they call a cyclone, it says right here, a storm or system of winds that rotates about a center of low atmospheric pressure, advances at a speed of 20 to 30 miles an hour, and often brings heavy rain. No, I'm sorry, I'm thinking of typhoon. Typhoon is what they call hurricanes in the South Pacific, and hurricane is what they call them that originate in the Atlantic. But I'm not sure about the cyclone. I always heard a cyclone was a tornado over water.
That's what I thought as well, but in light of the recent conversation, I began to wonder.
Sure. Well, let's ask, and we'll get, you know, a better answer than I, even armed with the Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary 11th edition, can give you right now.
Well, thanks so much.
All right. Thanks a lot. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. While we're on the subject of what to plant, Carrie in East Dallas says, I'd like to plant a fruit tree in my yard. I cannot find any recommended fruit trees for the Dallas area on any websites. I'd like to plant an apple tree, a pear tree, or a peach tree. Can anyone tell me which, if any of these trees would be best, or any other kind of fruit tree that might be better? He says, my soil in East Dallas is very clayey. 800-933-5372. Let's see. Justin, does anyone have any tips on how to clean out a coffee press and what to do with the used grounds since they can't go down the disposal? I just run some water in there and swish it out and pour it in your compost bowl that you then take out to your compost pile. But someone will have a suggestion. Let's talk next at 800-933-5372 to Jim in Fort Worth. Hello, Jim.
The lady that called in about the price of solar was way off base. She's quoting some old numbers. The cost for a solar photovoltaic system without batteries installed is going to be in the neighborhood of $8 a watt. So if you want 3,000 watts of solar, it'd be around $24,000.
So in the mid-20s then?
Yeah, but solar is a commodity, you know. It's how much do you want?
Right.
Cost more. As far as payback, since nobody really knows what the cost of electricity is going to be in the future, then there's really no way to tell how quick the solar will pay for itself. As far as incentives, she is right that there are no statewide incentives, but for those in the know, the state will begin net metering in Texas on January 1st. So you can
get paid back for the electricity you generate.
Yeah, but the utilities in the PUC are really making a pretty lame version of net metering compared to what other states have.
Okay.
Yeah,
go ahead, Jim.
I was going to say, also on January 1st, the state will begin implementing a program of nodal pricing, nodes. It's going to be a completely different pricing structure going into effect statewide. And there's talk that electric rates within the first year are going to go up as much as 200% in large urban areas where the demand is the greatest.
Okay. Well, Jim, thanks very much for the information. I appreciate it. All right. Line open, 800-933-5372. Up next is Muhammad in Plano. Hello, Muhammad.
Yes. I have a couple of answers for you.
Okay.
You were asking a pair of cell, where'd you find them? Go to Indian grocery stores, and they carry them.
Very good.
And also, somebody asked for you where the Indian live dance, or you can have a dining same place. They're called Mayfield. You can go here off Richardson, Spring Valley.
Okay.
And the exit of Spring Valley and right there on the service road.
Very good. Muhammad, thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome.
And if you're still looking for lunch and you're waiting to find out where to get the authentic Italian beef sandwich, Jill in Dallas says, my husband says Weinberger's Deli on Main Street in Grapevine is the place to go. And Andy in the Colony says the place is called Chicago Rick's at the southeast corner of Frankfort and Marsh. It's anything you ever wanted to know. You can call us 800-933-5372. You can email us anything at kera.org, and we'll be right back. From KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. It's anything you ever wanted to know. You can call us at 800-933-5372. You can email us anything at kera.org. If you go to kera.org/anything, as a matter of fact, if you haven't been on the kera.org website in the last week or so, it's completely redesigned. We relaunched it. It's shiny and new and way, way more efficient. It's more pleasing to the eye. There's some beautiful photographs of the region there as well. And you can still sign up to, and actually you can sign up to receive via subscription, which is free, the last 10 episodes of Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. But you can also just download them right off the site. If you go to kera.org/anything and then click on the link for the podcasts, it's all there and it's totally free. So check it out at kera.org/anything. Fee in Uptown has a question that came in to anything at kera.org. The other night, I was coming home from an evening in the Uptown area around 1 a.m., and as I was driving home, I noticed a little boxy white car with 911 on the side following me, all the way home from the bar to my house. She asks, is this some private security firm making sure patrons aren't leaving the bars drunk, a crime watch group, or what? What are the cars with 911 in Uptown? Tom writes and says, the Channel 5 news director decided not to renew Rebecca Miller's contract. He said both Unfair Park and Uncle Barky, those are both blogs that you can Google and find, gave it good coverage online, he says. 800-933-5372. Oh, one more question from the inbox. This is from Patricia in Dallas. What causes small geckos to get in your home, and how do you get rid of them? Well, actually, it's a good thing that you have those geckos because they eat mosquitoes, ants, all kinds of stuff. And I don't know that you can get rid of them, but from what we've been told here on the show, from what I've heard, you don't really want to get rid of them. They're little geckos. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Bert in Fort Worth. Hello, Bert.
Hello. How are you doing?
Doing fine.
Yeah, I love the show. I have a comment on the photovoltaic systems.
Okay.
And answers to your typhoon question.
Great.
The photovoltaic systems, the gentleman that called a minute ago was more closer to the point. I've actually installed, maintained, and operated photovoltaic systems. It's give or take about $2,000 to $5,000 for
okay.
your inverter systems, probably depending on how many batteries you want. You want a 12-volt deep cycle marine-type batteries,
sure.
which is the normal ones that are used. And depending on the size of your battery bank, if you have a decent-sized house, it's going to be around 2,000 to 3,000 amp-hours in your battery bank. That's probably going to be another $2,000 or $3,000. And then your panels, depending, again, on how much power you want to take in, are between, say, $3,000 and $5,000 for the panels. But the price of panels has recently gone down because you can now the process of etching out panels has become much easier.
Right.
The biggest expense is on battery banks because your batteries have to be replaced. The ones I've maintained and operated have been on research vessels and research stations in the Caribbean. And because salt water, all that, we had to replace ours more frequently, say, once every year and a half or so. So that was kind of an expense. But in a controlled environment, here in the States where you don't have, a lot of, problem, with rust from salt water, the last 3-4 years. So, we're looking probably at between $10,000 and $15,000, more closer to what the gentleman was saying.
Okay, question for you, Bert. If you don't want to live off the grid, you want to stay in get your electricity from the electric provider of your choice, but you want to say, as they say, run your meter backwards on the sunny days,
uh-huh.
Do you have to have the batteries? Or can you just hook up the panels?
Then you won't have a good sine wave. And everything, you have to have constant current to run, pretty much anything. This is what it takes to run. But your sine wave would go up and down.
I gotcha. So the power goes into the batteries, and then you draw it out of the batteries
exactly
to get a constant.
At a steady rate for
gotcha.
Whatever you need.
Okay.
And as far as typhoons go, hurricanes, cyclones, all the same thing. Hurricanes is an American word. NOAA uses it. The National Weather Forecasting mm-hmm. uses it. So everything that U.S. usually refers to, U.S. water, stuff like that, is a hurricane. Typhoon, Japanese word. Pacific, cyclone, European word. But they're all the same thing. So
okay.
it really depends on who's initially reporting it, and then that's the word that gets carried over.
Very good. Bert, thanks very much.
All right. Thank you.
800-933-5372. Chris writes in about the solar question. He says, to your caller who talked about the 30-year return on investment on solar panels, making a commitment to renewable energy, Chris writes, requires a paradigm shift in thinking. This is not like installing a swimming pool. Chris says the shift to renewable energy includes using less energy. It also means that you place a value on the ecology such that you are seeking more than just a return on your investment. Which I think is a good point, Chris. And thanks for sending that in, because if I hadn't had your email, I was going to ask our last caller. Isn't it also about using less energy? And if you're going to stay in your home indefinitely, if you're not planning on, obviously, if you're going to put a $30,000 or $24,000 whatever it is dollar system in, you're probably going to stay a little while, or at least, that should be a selling point for maybe another homeowner who wants to use less energy as well. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Divya in Allen. Hello, Divya.
Hi. I had answers for the couple of questions regarding one was the pear soap.
Yes.
Like the other caller said, that you can find it in any Indian grocery store. One specifically would be Taj Grocers. That's at 75 and Beltline.
Very good.
And the other question was about the live music. In addition to Mayfield, there's another little restaurant down south. It's probably, I think it's the Uptown area. It's on Lemon Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the exact intersection, but I know it's on Lemon. I think they have a website. It's called Cosmic Cafe.
Okay.
I have seen live music there on Friday and Saturday nights. But I think Mayfield is like the whole week they have live music or something like that.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
800-933-5372. Also on the Pears soap, Jeremy says, I get it at Kroger on I-30 near Cooper in Arlington. Rainey says it can be found at the Walgreens on Beltline in Montfort. I'm sure it's at other locations, but I happen to have seen it there recently. It says it's in the bubble bath department and not with the other bath soaps. And let's see, Madhavi in Louisville says, try any Indian grocery store like Taj Mahal Imports on Beltline 75. I think that's the same place we just heard about. Oh, and the Clay Pit Indian restaurant has some nights with live music. He said the website is at claypit.com. 800-933-5372. Up next is Cody in Richardson. Hello, Cody.
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay, I had an answer to the black hole question.
Okay.
I hope, like, if I'm wrong, like, you know, I hope another caller will correct me on this, but I just got my astronomy final, so hopefully I'm correct.
Okay.
So what happens is it has to, the star has to explode because it normally they form from a white dwarf star, which can only hold so much mass. And once it gets to a certain point, there's a limit. I can't remember the name, which was okay because I didn't have that question. But that limit, it causes the star to explode. And then if it does it right, it will contract back in and leave another star called a neutron star. And what happens is there has to be another source of matter out there for it. So normally it happens in a two-star system.
Right.
And then it sucks up the matter off the second star that didn't explode. And once it reaches a certain level, it breaks the physics boundary, and then like it just contracts on itself, and that's what causes the black hole.
Very good.
So, but it has to reach at least of what they call three solar masses. So it has to reach the mass of three times the mass of our sun. And a neutron star can get to that size, but only be 20 kilometers in diameter. So it's very, very, very tightly packed. And so once it gets up to that size of mass, it just can't hold its it can't hold its form anymore, and it just collapses on itself.
Great. Cody, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
All right. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. A couple of answers I want to make sure we get to. Let's see. Malia says, I had a Granny Smith apple tree and a peach tree at my house here in the area, and both did wonderfully. Brad Ellis says, I met with an old friend in Houston last week who's a master gardener and a member of the Garden Club. It's my understanding that Garden Club's function are to educate people on what and how to grow plants in a particular area. So check out a Garden Club. Lynn in Plano says the Texas A&M Dallas County Extension's office answers such questions, and you can call them Monday through Friday from 8 to 4:30 p.m. to talk to a real live master gardener. No horticultural questions go unanswered. So check out the Texas A&M Dallas County Extension office. I'm sure you can find contact info for them online. Responding to a question from last week about who will come up and pick up bees and hives, et cetera, Sarah in Dallas says, I called a pest control company for a small rodent problem, and it turns out that their owner keeps bees. He's always excited when clients have bees because he gets to take them home. I don't know if they charge, but she says you can check them out at natureking.com. Tom at Arlington responded to the question about why thunder is louder in Texas than in the Midwest. He says it's because there's more electrical energy in the lightning and thunder. This electrical energy is generated by water and heat fed by moisture from the Gulf of Mexico and higher temperatures than in the Midwest. When these factors mix, you get tremendous thunderstorms and tornadoes. There can still be violent storms and tornadoes in the Midwest, but it's drier and cooler there, hence less energy and thus less sound. And finally, leftover from last week and all the nature and critter questions that you can ask, Bill of Mesquite is responding to about controlling the copperhead snakes that the caller asked about. Copperheads, he says, are near the top of their food chain and don't have many natural enemies other than humans. He says king snakes sometimes eat copperheads, and so do hawks. So unless the caller can find a way to increase the number of king snakes or hawks on his property, he'll have to go to method number two, which is make the environment unattractive to copperheads. He says, you can make the property unattractive by removing cover where the snakes can conceal themselves and by removing food. Mow the property aggressively. No weeds or tall grass means there's no place for the snakes to hide. And if you remove trash, piles of leaves, rubble, old buildings, etc., that'll help too. He says you can eliminate rodents and insects from the property. These are the main things that the copperheads eat. You can use poison baits, trap sprays, remove trash, rubble, wood piles, etc. He says, or you can just decide to let the snakes do what they're doing, which is eating the mice, rats, and insects, and just wear snake leggings and boots when you're out on the property. Your chances of being bitten by a copperhead, he says, are probably less than your chance of being hit by lightning anyway, unless you're incredibly unlucky or just careless. He says, it helps to scuff your feet a little when you're walking out in the field. It alerts the snakes to your presence, makes it less likely that you'll step on one. which is how most people get bitten by copperheads. And since the snakes will leave, since they don't like you any better, then you like them. Thanks very much, Bill. And Bill's in Mesquite. Let's see, a couple of people waiting very patiently. Tom in Dallas. Hello, Tom.
Yes, sir.
Yes, go right ahead.
I have computer monitors and scanners, some of which work, some of which don't, but I'd like to either dispose of them in an ecological sense, a green way, and or pass them on to someone who might want them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where to turn or who to contact.
One suggestion we've had on these things, especially if they work, is a website called freecycle.org. It's free, cycle, cycle.org. You can put it up there and offer it for free, and someone, if they want it, they can come get it. I was also reading an article about the switch to digital transmission and what that's going to do via televisions and landfills next year.
Mm-hmm.
And that website was in the environmental magazine. You can probably find them online. And they suggested visiting earth911.com for locations for recycling of electronics and things of that nature.
Great. Thank you.
Sure. Let's talk to Genovra in Dallas. Hello, Genovra.
Hi. I am on a quest to locate Barnes & Noble bags from around 1997, the kind that feature those woodblock portraits of different authors. I'm trying to amass, you know, as many different ones of those as possible, and they've switched their publicity materials, so they're not producing them anymore.
You're just collecting them?
I'm an illustrator. I'm in grad school, and they're a wonderful, I think, you know, the artist who does them is terrific,
sure.
And I'm just trying to get some examples together.
Well, we'll ask, and if we get an answer for you over, you know, via email or maybe next week, tune in next week, and we'll be sure and share it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Let's talk to Jeff in Plano. Hello, Jeff.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Weinbergers, that one of the other people mentioned,
yeah.
They are a longtime deli owner in South Chicago, and theirs is wonderful. People from Chicago also have a hard problem finding pizza.
Sure. And just to refresh everyone, we're almost out of time, but we're talking about the authentic Italian beef sandwich.
Yes.
Yes.
Most of the good pizza places in Chicago now offer a service where you can call up and order a pizza, and they'll ship it down here. Aurelio's, Lou Malnato's, Rosati's, all those places do that now.
Very good. Jeff, thanks so much.
Uh-huh. Bye.
It's Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. It is produced by yours truly. Jeannie Mascoro is our engineer. Thank you, Jeannie. Fiona Norton, as almost always, answered the phones today. Thank you, Fiona. And, of course, we had lots and lots of help from our assistant producer, Brandilyn Barnett. Thank you very much, Brandilyn. Don't forget, you can sign up to receive automatically when you log on to whatever your podcast player utility is. To receive the free Anything You Ever Wanted to Know weekly podcast. The last 10 episodes are totally free. Or you can just download the audio now at the new and improved, completely revamped KERA.org. Just go to KERA.org/anything. And while you're online, if you have a question or an answer or a suggestion or a thought or anything, you can email us at anything@KERA.org. Thanks again very much for your questions, your answers, for calling, and for listening. Have a great weekend.